I'll be reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 42, and from the First Nations version. After he told this story, Creator sets free, or Jesus, walked on ahead of his followers to Village of Peace, Jerusalem. When he came to House of Figs, Bethany, at the foot of Olive Mountain, he said to two of his followers, "Go to House of Unripe Figs, Bethphage, on the other side of the mountain. When you come into the village, you will see a young donkey colt tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks you what you are doing, say this to them: Our wisdom keeper is in need of it." His followers did as they were told. When they arrived at the village, they found everything just as he had said. When they started untying the colt, the owners asked them, "What are you doing?" They answered the owners just as they had been instructed, so they were permitted to go. They brought the young donkey colt to Creator Sets Free, Jesus, and laid their deer skins and tribal blankets on the donkey colt. He then mounted the colt and began his ride. As he rode forward, some of the people began to spread their buffalo robes on the road in front of Creator Sets Free, or Jesus. When he reached the foot of Olive Mountain, the whole village was in an uproar. His followers began to sing to Creator and shout out loud, praising him for the powerful signs they had seen. "Blessed is the Grand Chief who comes representing the Great Spirit. Peace to the spirit world above, and honor and shining greatness to the one above us all." Some of the separated ones, or Pharisees, who were in the crowd spoke up. "Wisdom keeper," they cried out, "warn your followers to watch what they are saying." "I will tell you this," he said to them. "If they were silenced, the very stones and rocks we are walking on would lift their voices and cry out." As he rode forward, he could see the sacred village of peace, Jerusalem, and tears began to run down his face. He could taste the salt from his tears as he opened his mouth in anguish. "Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you are the sacred village of peace," he wept out loud. "Of all people, you should be the ones who would know the way of peace. But on this sacred day, the way of peace is hidden from your eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Alicia. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for coming as Jesus. We thank you for wonderful Psalms like 118, where we get to praise you. We thank you for the disciples who recorded what happened when Jesus came into Jerusalem. Help us to hear your voice and your message for us this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So I keep seeing these videos online from a Canadian that didn't work. From a Canadian comedian who goes by the name of Brittle Star on social media. And he likes to make silly little videos that are specifically around Canadian culture and experiences. And recently I saw one where he introduces the five seasons of Canada. Now, if you've been in Canada for any length of time, there's all sorts of jokes around the seasons in Canada. But I like this one. So he says, of course, we all know winter and spring and summer and fall. But there's another season that comes called gut punch spring. And this is how it works. We're coming out of winter, we're all freezing cold, and suddenly you look outside and the sun is out. And you open the door and it's 8 degrees or 10 degrees. And all of a sudden, it doesn't take you an hour to get ready to go out the door. It takes you seconds. You can throw on your shoes and you can just walk out the door. And all of a sudden, you feel like life is returning to your body, that you can see hope again. And then there's that gut punch of the -5 that comes the next day. And all of a sudden, it starts to get warm again. But you no longer quite believe it this time, because you know at any moment that cold could come back. Gut punch spring. And he says, is it any wonder that Canadians have trust issues? At least until the middle of May, when perhaps we can trust that the weather is here to stay. I like those brief moments of spring. Once I got used to the idea that they weren't permanent. First few springs in Ottawa, certainly, I believed them. And the cold really hit me hard when it came back. But now I've learned that if it's before Mother's Day, I should expect these times to be fleeting. And so to enjoy them for what they are, knowing that they won't last. Even in our darkest moments, we often have these little times where we kind of come up on the hill and we feel the sun just for a moment, and we can imagine a future where things are brighter. And even if we end up in the valley after again, those moments help us move forward. And Palm Sunday, I would say, is one of those moments. We spend a lot of our time in Lent focused on repentance, on recognizing the ways that we are imperfect and need God's help. Certainly this coming week on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, there's this focus on the sacrifice that Jesus makes, the suffering he experiences, the torture, the sadness that comes with loss and with death. But for a few moments on Palm Sunday, in the middle of that, we get to shout Hosanna and wave our palms and remember that the sadness is not the end of the story. And this is what we get. We have Jesus coming into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, and they roll out the red carpet for him. In this case, rather than carpet, we have palms and we have clothes that are laid on the path. And people are so excited, they start yelling, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David." And yes, probably there was also screaming and crying, as well as the excitement. But I wonder, I feel like we don't get this excitement or to feel it very often. So we are going to try to get a little loud this morning. If you don't like loud, now is a good time maybe to step to the back or to step into another room. But I wonder if anybody is interested in being in the middle of it with me. So I'm going to move, and that's okay if people at home can't hear me, because I'm hoping they're going to be able, or can't see me, because they're going to be able to hear us. So I'm going to ask Rob to unmute the pulpit mic, which you'll see is right here. And I'm going to get him to put something else up on the screen, which is a bunch of words. These are some of the things that people were shouting in the middle of Jesus coming in to Jerusalem. Hosanna, glory in the highest. Blessed is the King, peace in heaven. And choir, if you're willing to move, I'm going to invite you to actually come forward, those who are comfortable. Come in front of the communion table so that we kind of fill in the front of this. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to, I think we have, might have to stand for this. So I'm going to invite you to stand if you're able. If not, that's okay. And maybe come a little bit closer to the middle if you're currently kind of away from the edge. If you're at that end, come into the middle. And what we're going to do is I'm going to invite you to pick one of these four sayings that are up here on the screen. It doesn't matter which one. We're all going to pick different ones, and we're going to make a bit of a cacophony of sound as we wave our palms and shout our whatever saying you've picked over and over several times. And we're going to see if I mute my microphone, if people at home can hear us. We won't really know until later, but we're going to see. And if you want to stand in the middle, you can. If you don't have a palm, let me know and we'll give you one. All right. We good? Are we ready to try this? Do we know what we're doing? Does everyone have their thing they're going to say? All right. I'm going to count to three, and then we're just going to shout it a bunch of times, and we're going to see how loud it gets in here. All right? Here we go. One, two, three. Stop. Wonderful. That was so loud. I bet they could hear us at home. People across the street might have heard us. All right, you can sit down if you want. Choir, you can go back. Thank you. Thank you for indulging me. Imagine for a moment now being in the middle of that crowd. Imagine not knowing anything about Jesus. And then just being out on the Mount of Olives or in at the edge of the city of Jerusalem and hearing that, hearing this mass of noise, people cheering and waving and shouting, you would have wondered, what the heck is going on here? What on earth are all these people going on about? Does anybody know what Hosanna means? Hosanna means Lord save us. And it was, so we actually, because we read our Psalms in English and not in Hebrew, Hosanna is actually in that Psalm 118, but it's translated as save us. Save us, O Lord, was one of the lines that we said in that Psalm. And it was a shout that was associated with the Messiah, right? The promised one, the anointed one, the one set apart from God who was going to come and save the people. And everyone is sure that it's Jesus, everyone in this crowd. And it says the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God. Right? So they're shouting these things, glory in the highest, Hosanna, blessed is the King. They're so excited. But here's the thing. Those things are treasonous to the Roman Empire. Those are fighting words for those who are in power. And this is the other thing, sometimes we forget, right? The Pharisees get a bad rap, but there were Pharisees who were part of Jesus' disciples. So what Luke says is this is a crowd of disciples. So the people yelling and cheering and shouting, by and large, they are people who have been following Jesus. And out of this crowd, some of the Pharisees are the ones who rebuke Jesus. So I read that, it's one of two things. Either these Pharisees are spies who are trying to find out what's going on and they've infiltrated the crowd, or these are Pharisees that are following Jesus, who believe that what he says matters and is important, but they're starting to get a bit antsy because the crowd seems like it's turning away from harmless learning into something that could become rebellion. And we know that if the status quo, people who benefit from the status quo, the last thing they want is rebellion. And so even if they are in favor of what Jesus has been teaching, they don't like what's happening with the crowd. And so they come up to Jesus as he's riding through, and there's this all this noise and sound and all these excited people, and they're like, Jesus, you gotta tell him to quit it. You gotta stop this. This is dangerous. And this is where Jesus says, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. So think about that wall of sound that we created. How loud it was, how joyful it was. And Jesus says, if that suddenly stops, all these stones, as I said with the kids, all these stones that are everywhere, these mountains, these walls, the buildings, the very earth itself will cry out. You cannot stop what's happening. And I think it's important for us to hear this for a couple of reasons. One, because it tells us, sometimes we can feel, those of us who feel called to share our faith with the world, or maybe even who feel really uncomfortable about sharing our faith with the world, can feel like it's on our shoulders, that it's up to us whether we get this right or not, that if we say the wrong word, if we do the wrong thing, if whatever, that we're going to ruin it all. And so I think Jesus' message, in part, is an encouragement. Nothing can keep God's message from coming through. Nothing. In another place, Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. God's love is so powerful that it doesn't matter if we screw up. God's love will make it through. That's encouraging, at least for me, who I know I make mistakes all the time. To know that God works through that and with my weakness, that's a good thing. But also, it's a reminder that just because we're making certain people uncomfortable, it doesn't mean we should shut up. It doesn't mean we should just go and mind our business and say, well, my faith is mine and your faith is yours, and I don't want to mention my faith again because I might offend somebody. Sometimes Jesus' message is offensive. And that's not to say we just go up to the random people on the street and say, have you met Jesus? I think you're going to hell. That's not the message. But to say, this is why I follow Jesus. This is the difference he's made in my life. We shouldn't ever feel ashamed to share that. To be able to say, this is why I think Jesus makes a difference. But the other thing is, we are living in a tough world right now. I've said this a few times, and we notice it. There is war happening. Prices in grocery stores and at the gas pumps are unbelievable. It seems like a very long time ago that we were worried that gas prices were going to cross a dollar. And here we are at $1.77. And if you have to get gas to go to work, that makes a difference. So yeah, there's a lot of tough stuff going on right now. Larger things and smaller things. We have people who are grieving, whose health is failing, who are facing uncertainty at work or in life. And sometimes it can feel like God is absent. It can feel like, where is God in all of this? Maybe we don't hear the joy and the cacophony of all that's happening around us. But Jesus says that the very stones cry out that God is the one who will save us. That even if we do not see it, it doesn't mean God isn't there. And that our laughter and our joy, our shouting Hosanna in the midst of it all, can be the way to see the light when things look difficult. That we should remember not to get too distracted, to pay attention to what's going on around us. So I just, the service went fast. All right. So this is my invitation then, for you to think about, you can put up the slide, for you to think about this week, maybe talk about during lunch, if you're having lunch with someone or at coffee hour, what is it that brings you joy? What is it that makes you want to wave your palms in the air and shout Hosanna? Blessed is the King. What are those things? Share them with one another. Maybe make a plan this week to do one of those things. And remember that God is in it every step of the way. Let the stones cry out this week in those moments of joy as we continue to walk to the cross. Let us pray. Gracious God, your presence is all around us. It is in the very earth we walk on, the sky that's over our heads, the stones that are made into this building. But sometimes we don't see you, God. So we pray that you would remind us through moments of joy that you are in fact with us, that you love us, and that you have a good future for us. As we walk towards the cross, may it not be done in despair, but with a reminder that Easter Sunday is just on the horizon. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.